I've invited a guest into the studio to have a chat to us tonight. Now, I came to know him when I was working in the Hunter Valley doing radio in the upper Hunter of New South Wales. And I, as you know, I'm a foodie and I love a good piece of steak. And I, even more than that, I love a good piece of pork. Well, this bloke is one of the premier beef and pork producers in Australia. And the reason I wanted to get him in to have a chat about it is not the fact that he's one of the best farmers around, but he's actually got an interesting story to tell. I was going to say that his business was a third generation business, but he now tells me that he's sixth generation on the land, so his sons are seventh generation. But it's an interesting concept with this, what we talk about now being paddock to plate. His name's Robert Gill and joins us now. G'day, Robert.
Good afternoon, Stephen. How are you?
Very well, mate. Good to have you in the studio with us. And we've known each other for a few years now, but first time we've ever been face-to-face in the studio, but I've been a big fan of your product for years, as you know.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen, and we appreciate your comments.
Tell me, as you said, that you're sixth generation on the land, but as far as the beef and pork producing business, you and your father kicked that off in 1973.
Yes, we moved to Murrawa in 1973 with Dad and my brother and myself, and we went our different ways in 1980, and I remained with Dad, and then we kicked on with the business.
And your sons are now involved in the business too, so it's very much a story, an Australian farming story. I mean, it would be a similar story for a lot of people on the land right across Australia, that many generations on the land.
Oh, yes, if they started early, yes.
Yeah. So tell us, when did you start in the... What came first, the beef or the pork?
The beef.
Okay.
And in 1979, we wanted to spread our risk, so we put built a piggery, and then in 1993, we built a feed mill so we could control the quality of our food that we fed our stock. And in 1995, we bought a wholesale meat business. Then 2 years ago, 2016, we bought an abattoirs.
So, you, as I said, you really are paddock to plate, effectively. I mean, and I've bought a steak from you, you know, at the back end that we, well, I tried it a couple of weeks ago and I told everybody in here it's the best steak I've ever had. It was absolutely fantastic. But what made you decide that you wanted to go that far? Because most businesses wouldn't, I guess, expand that way, that far laterally. What made you decide that you wanted to be part of every process along the way?
Oh, well, it's just a natural progress if you want to control quality.
Talk us through that, because up until you bought the abattoir, what would happen to your beast? So you grow this cow, then what happens to it?
We'd transport it to an abattoir, either Frederick at Campsie or Curry where we bought, and slaughtered and back to our own wholesale depot.
Okay. And then it goes out to various butchers around the place or directly to restaurants, perhaps?
Yes. So,
yeah, okay. Mm. When you say controlling that quality, what makes a good beef cow?
Genetics is the first thing we've got to look for, whether we breed them or buy them. We've got to buy the best we can. And then they're looked after on natural pasture, fertilised, and with our feed mix to ensure the seasons, when they stop, the beasts don't stop.
How long does it take, or how many years does it take to get from, say, for instance, you know, in 73 when you move out to Murrawa and kick off there, how many years does it take you to get to the point where you go, we've got the genetics right now and we're moving in the right direction?
Oh, well, it's an ever-changing world. And we're lucky to be associated with Millamara Angus at Bathurst, who's a premier, in my view, the premier Angus in Australia. And we buy our pork genetics from Myora in Mount Gambier. I travel 1,400 k's each year to buy our genetics. So I think very highly of them. And I hope people like you who have tried our pork enjoy it.
So there's a lot to this. See, a lot of people would think that, you know, you just have a bunch of cows out in a paddock, but there's so much that goes into making a great piece of steak.
We've got to have softness. It's if the beast hasn't got the ability to lay down fat and produce a soft piece of meat, it won't eat like you were eating the other day.
Can you still, if you get all that right, can you still go through a bad year and have product that doesn't come out as good as you would want it to?
Well, that's why we have our feed mill, that we control the diet, and we won't compromise on quality. Anything we do in our business, we will not compromise on quality. So here we are, we've just come through the toughest years in Murrawa since we've been there, and that piece of steak that you had a fortnight ago was produced in a tough year.
Okay, so the testament to the system.
Even though that piece of steak was bought off a friend of ours, but he's using our feet.
Yeah, okay. Now, you've had about a 20 mil of rain overnight, so what does that do for you? I mean, apart from the fact that it creates a bit of mud in the early stages and slows things up, what does that mean moving forward?
Hopefully it's a start of a break for us, but we'll need much, much more.
Okay. What sort of... I want to talk about the transition from beef to pork for a moment. And, you know, you've obviously, you've done the beef for a long time and you've got that right. How big was the learning curve to move into a different beef, a different meat product?
Oh, just, it's the same basics, but, you know, pork's, the beauty about pork is when you join the sow, within 17 weeks, the baby's born, and then another 20 weeks, you have a, it's on the plate.
Do you have to be a meat eater and enjoy your meat to get this right?
Oh, I'm a great listener.
Very good, very good. Robert, I want to talk to you about the finished product. Now, the reason that we're here talking tonight is because we've been in contact for years, as I said, but in recent times we've talked about this dry aging locker that you were putting into a butcher shop that you own. And for those that aren't aware of it, a fresh butt of beef will be hung in a humidity and temperature controlled case with a salt wall for anywhere up to 4 weeks. So I think you're aiming at about 2 weeks is going to be the aging process for yours, won't it?
2 to 3 weeks, Steve. We're going to see how it goes.
Right. What made you decide to do that? I mean, I'm a huge fan of dry aged steak and even more a fan after trying yours, but what was the impetus for you to do that?
Oh, well, we just want to add another venture to our business and give people the opportunity to try it.
And you're famous for your hams and your pork products, and I've tried a few of those now, but your Christmas hams that, I mean, obviously this is the busiest time of year for those. What goes into making a good ham? What makes a good ham?
To start off, a good leg, first of all. A leg with plenty of shape. When I say shape, cutting, and then you've got to follow every process to the T.
And it's very much a proprietary thing, isn't it? I mean, every ham producer would do something slightly different, wouldn't they?
Oh, I don't know. I can't speak for too many other people.
But yours, your brine would be a secret, the recipe.
Well, it's just a brine that works for us.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. The next question I want to ask you, because you're very big, you've said you're very big on making sure that the quality is maintained at every process. Are you fussy about who you supply?
Oh, we like to associate ourselves with good business.
So would any butcher shop be able to ring Alexander Downs and say, look, we want to start stocking your product, or do you do a little bit more research into who's going to finish up with your product on their shelves?
We've got a great clientele that we serve, and we take on new customers weekly.
Yeah, right. Okay. And how far across the country do you go?
We go to Sydney, North Coast, Mudgee, Tamworth.
Okay. So anybody living in those areas, listening to us, can go in and get an Alexander Downs piece of steak and know that it's going to be, have the Robert Gill sign of approval or seal of approval on it, so to speak.
Yeah, well, we're very, very proud of our quality, Steve.
Yeah, yeah. And so you should be. Look, now I've got a taste for it. I'm going to have to get back in and get another few bits and pieces off you. Robert, great to have you in the studio. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve.
That's Robert Gill from Alexander Downs.